Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today on this broadcast truth. And with that truth, we're talking about the fact that we're in a state of delusion, deception, and a total disintegration of our nation based on what is taking place in Washington, and as a result of that, what we see from a global perspective. But according to the Word of God, Matthew the 7th chapter, verses 13 through verse 23, the Bible talks about two gates, two ways, two futures. I want Pastor Davis. Pastor Davis is with us today as we talk about this important, vital subject. Pastor Davis, if you would take a moment and read for our listening audience. Some of them do not have their Bibles before them. Reading verses 13 through verse 23 in Matthew, the 7th chapter. Then we want to go back and talk about it and see how that applies to where we are in society today.
Amen. Beginning at verse 13, Matthew 7. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
Pastor, as I look at that text, and I pray that our listeners are following biblically with us, and I've used that text and I've preached it and I've taught it dozens and dozens and dozens of times down through the years, and it is a sad, I believe perhaps the saddest words in all the Bible, where Jesus says, depart from me, I never knew you. Depart from me, I never knew you. But Pastor, let's talk about it as we look at these verses and how that applies to life and to our situation today. I call verse 13 and 14 the serious caution revealed. Serious caution. There are two ways. One is the straight way, and one is the broad way.
Amen.
Take a moment and explain that to us.
Well, when we look at the straight gate, it's letting us know right there, Dr. Youngblood, that is a not only a T strategic walk, but it's a careful walk.
Mm-hmm.
Because anytime, even if you take a pencil, if you want to draw a straight line, you have to be careful about how you're drawing that line if you want it to stay straight.
Right.
In other words, you are making every effort to keep it straight.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what Christ is saying in this word. We ought to be making every effort as a Christian to keep our lives straight so that we can enter into that straight gate.
Right. And that straight, the word straight there, pastors, I look at that. It has a very, very, very ominous, but yet serious and very clear. It has restrictions. Restrictions. This is the reason I like the church sign. Heaven has strict immigration laws. It's talking about the straight gate. Hell has open borders. And when you understand, by the way, just touching on that for a moment, I need to elaborate further. I've driven across our nation. I've seen signs that I totally disagree with. I never have felt that I needed to go in and tell a church or any business how they need to revamp their sign or change their sign. But yet we've had down through the years different marquee readings that we put on our marquee, and we've had some that disagree with it, disavow it, dislike it. Had several years ago, the media out here wondered why we had such a sign up, et cetera, and talking about the different events and the different things. And I find it antithetical to religious liberty for a church, this church that I'm speaking of with this article, where the headline says, Hell has open borders, and the community forces the church through the media's hampering what the church was trying to do and say, forces the church then to apologize. So my question is, should the church have apologized? Perhaps you, ladies and gentlemen, you've got an answer to that. 904-831-0917, 831-0917. What are your thoughts as we do this Bible study and we're using this church sign as an approach to what we see taking place, because the church sign was speaking truth. But, Pastor, when it comes to that, the two ways that's available, there's only two ways. One is the way for life and one is the way for death.
Amen.
One is the way that is narrow, restricted. It is the one that has a requirement. Now, what do I mean by requirement? It's very, very clear, because in the latter portion of this unit of thought, Jesus said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. And yet, Pastor, when it comes down to that, here are people, and we'll look at in a moment, they're arguing their case before the Supreme Court Justice of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
They're arguing about what they've done. Ladies and gentlemen, let me simply say this very quickly, very briefly. Whether it's in the political world in Washington, D.C., in the Beltway of Washington, or whether it's across the nation with the average Joe, as we would call it, there's a recognition that it is easy to just take the Broadway. There's seemingly a recognition that on the Broadway, ladies and gentlemen, there are no restraints, just whatever pleases self. There's in this gate that's the broad gate, the pathway that is taken today for most people. Just do whatever you please. Go whatever you want to, wherever you want to go. Say whatever you want to say without any worry about it. That's the Broadway, the broad gate. So we see in this unit of thought two gates, two ways, two choices, two futures. And with the narrow gate, it indicates, ladies and gentlemen, because it says in the next verse that few there be that enter therein.
Amen. Amen.
Pastor,
amen.
I'm always amazed when we see so many people saying that they're going to heaven, saying they're going to heaven. But when you look at the life, when you look at what they're doing and how they're living, they've literally taken the Broadway.
Amen.
They're doing what pleases self. They're going where they want to go, and there's no indication of any serious commitment to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Because that straight gate, straight, minuscule, enter therein. Few, that word is minuscule. We get our word, English word minuscule. Minuscule numbers. Ladies and gentlemen, around the globe, if everybody that says that they're going to heaven were really saved, God would have to go in and remodel heaven. Because when you look at Revelation chapter 21 and the size that is given, chapter 21 Revelation gives the actual size of that place called heaven.
Amen.
And if everybody says they're saved, God will have to, if they're really saved, God will have to remodel, rebuild, and add to that place called heaven.
Amen.
Because all those won't fit in heaven.
Amen.
It's an impossibility.
Amen.
So you've got to sit back, ladies and gentlemen, and ask the question, Have you said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord? Because he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life, and no man enters heaven without coming through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's an impossibility. But pastors, we look at the serious caution that is revealed, and the caution is choose a gate, pick a gate, make a decision. Verse 13 says, the way that is broad is wide open. It's a wide open road. That's the reason this church sign says that heaven has strict immigration laws and hell has no borders.
Amen.
There are no borders, ladies and gentlemen, to that place called hell. Once you get there, too, what did you say earlier? We were talking, there's no exit gate.
No exit doors.
No
Amen.
Exit doors.
Amen. There was a pastor that preached that one time that visited our church and said in the message, hell has no exit doors.
That's right.
So we have to realize that once you get there,
no
you are
around.
There for eternity.
That's right.
You are suffering because the scripture tells us plainly. Let's make sure that we understand this in the proper context, because I also heard of another pastor preaching a message at a funeral, as a matter of fact, that hell was just a fantasy.
Mm.
And he said this at a funeral of an unsaved individual.
Mm.
Now, what was he doing to the people that were there that might have been seeking the truth?
That's right.
He were deceiving them.
That's right.
And this is what the devil, he's very good at that. And this is what false prophets and false teachers are very good at. So the devil uses people like that to deceive people who don't know the word of God. So this is the reason why we're telling you on today, make sure that you know this word, because this word is the truth.
You need to ask the question, which gate have you entered?
Amen.
Which way are you traveling? Is it the narrow way or the broad way?
Amen.
In fact, you touched on that about what a pastor had said about no doors out of hell, and then the one that said hell is just an imaginary place. It was the Pope in March of 2019, I think my memory holds well, said that hell is not real. No such thing as hell.
My.
That's the Pope's words. So, yet there are a lot of folks today that believe that, whether they've internalized it or not. Many that will believe that. Many are acting as though there's no such thing as hell because they've chosen the broad way rather than the narrow way. The choice that you make today, ladies and gentlemen, the choice that you make at this moment today about your relationship to Jesus Christ and your standing before him is going to make the determination of where you spend eternity.
Amen.
If you've chosen the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, saying yes to him as Savior and as Lord, then your eternal life is assured based on that. I'm looking at an article, Pastor. It is from Tony Perkins, the Family Research Council. He says, our culture is constantly telling us that the gospel is something to be ashamed of, that God's word is something to be hidden or believed only in the privacy of one's heart. Those who affirm what the Bible says about marriage and gender are ridiculed and marginalized. The world never stops trying to shame us as believers into silence, either by coercion or by force. In essence, our culture, through social and news media, entertainment, and the public educational system, is working to convince us to abandon what the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And the power of God unto salvation, it takes belief and faith and trust in Jesus Christ, which is the narrow way, which is the straight gate. Here he further says, Tony Perkins, however, we know that the Word of God commands us to be everything, anything but silent about the truth of the gospel and the difference between good and evil, righteousness and sin. While the world wants you to believe that there are a few Christians left who have not caved into the culture, the truth is that there are many in America and around the world that still stand boldly for the truth of the Word of God.
Amen.
For example, he uses this Tony Perkins article from Family Research Council newsletter. He says, in Finland, a member of parliament is currently being tried in court for violating the country's hate speech laws. She is being accused of ethnic agitation for tweeting a picture of the Bible open to Romans 1:24-27. In response to her church's denomination's choice to participate, her church's choice to participate in the local LGBTQ pride parade. if found guilty of these charges, she, speaking of the parliamentarian in Finland, she could end up spending 2 years in jail and paying a hefty fine. Despite the possible consequences, this parliamentarian is standing strong for Bible truth. She is not and will not recant her affirmation of what God's Word says about marriage and about the Word of God. And it goes on to talk about it. It says, the culture will try to tell us that the Word of God says, what the Word of God said about marriage and sexuality is outdated and not authorized, and that we are alone if we think otherwise. But nothing could be further from the truth. As the media tirelessly tries to isolate us so that we relent our convictions, yet we stand for truth. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what this broadcast is about each and every day, is standing for truth. And we can stand for truth if we're traveling the straight gate, through the straight gate, the narrow way. But if you're on that broad way that leads to destruction, the scripture says, it is absolutely ominous as to where you will go. And it, yet, at the same time, the Bible says that if we've not said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, there's no hope, there's no help. There's that eternality in that place called hell where they have no boundaries and no borders.
Amen.
There are a lot of people today, Pastor, that's traveling the road with no boundaries and no borders. That is, I call it loose likes, lost living. And our world is filled with that, and it is being promulgated out of Washington, D.C. today. The head of state and others that are saying that you can just do. I have always been amazed when a politician dies. It doesn't matter how wicked he's been, how wretched his life's been. They satanize him, as some call it.
Amen.
And they preach him into heaven. They talk about he's walking with Jesus and wearing a halo, almost as Nancy Pelosi puts it. But ladies and gentlemen, the question is, which way are you traveling today?
Amen.
Pastor, when we get down to verse 20 through 23, there's a lot in between there that's wonderful, and time would allow we could cover it. But it's talking about the false prophets. They look like sheep, but they're ravening wolves. That means they're deadly, they're destructive, they're dangerous. And these ravening wolves, deadly, dangerous, destructive individuals that are teaching otherwise, false prophets, false teachers, that are leading down the primrose path of the broad way that leads to destruction. But then the summarization of this unit of thought is found in verse 20 and following. Pastor, let me reread a couple of things. Wherefore, by their fruit ye shall know them. That is, their character and their conduct will be revealed by what they produce and what they're saying and what they're doing.
Amen.
Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. The word Lord is the word Kyrios. The name Kyrios means owner, master, controller. And everyone that says Lord does not mean that he is Lord.
Amen.
A lot of people today say, Lord, help me when there's trouble, when there's difficulty. But they've never said, yes, Lord, and submit and surrender their lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Now, here's the key verse in all of this unit of thought. Many, that word is the megas, multitudes, as I call it, buckets full, will say unto me, speaking of Jesus, in that day, talking about the day of judgment, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, in thy name, and in thy name have cast out demons, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Now, Pastor, here's a picture of a group of professors. They're professing to have Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, but they're not possessors of Christ as Savior. They're simply saying, look at my works. Pastor, will works get a person to heaven? And this verse 22 is talking about works, people bragging about their works. And I've said many times, there are people that will say, Lord, I've led great choirs. I've traveled in great ministries. I have been able to speak in ecstatic utterances. I've been able to do this, this, and the other. And this is the brag sheet for the professor that's not a possessor of salvation that's making these statements. What do you see? What do we see? What can we speak about that our listeners might better understand about the analysis of that verse and how that fits in society today?
Amen. Well, Dr. Youngblood, you know, even in the book of James, it tells us about faith and works.
Yes.
You know, works alone will not do it for
us. That's right.
We must have faith. Faith is the essential ingredient.
Yes.
You don't do good because you are saved. You are saved to do good works.
Right.
In other words,
mm-hmm.
good works are the fruit of good faith.
That's right.
If abiding in the faith, like the scripture says. We need to know that you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool God none of the time.
That's right. He knows the heart.
The problem is that people are trying to make their own way about going, how they can get to heaven, when Jesus has already said, I am the way.
Right. In other words, they're traveling the broad way, as the scripture talks about.
Amen. 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 So we need to know. Scripture also tells us that he that cometh to God must believe that he is, or
right,
that God exists.
Right.
And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Mm-hmm.
That means you are not letting anything stand in your way, mm-hmm, to see and to find out who God is for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And when you come to know and understand about who God is and about his word, what all his word says, and how to apply that to your life, then you will understand that works alone cannot save you.
That's right. And when you look at verse 22 there, Pastor, and you're exactly right on target with what you just said, you notice in that 22nd verse, these people are religious.
Amen.
These that are debating their own case, these that are their own advocate. Someone said, if you are your own advocate, you have a fool for a client.
Amen.
This text says here, have we not prophesied in thy name and done all of these wonderful works in your name? These are religious people, ladies and gentlemen. Now listen very carefully. You need to ask the question, do I fall into that category? Have you traveled the broad way where you do what you want to do, say what you want to say, go where you please, and do as you please, just as we see coming politically, as we see coming out of Washington, and just as we see coming out of many denominational dogmas today across America, where the mindset is you can live your life any way you want to and still say, I'm on my way to heaven.
It's
an impossibility, Pastor, for a church or a pastor or a Christian to drink all the booze he wants to drink, go out and get drunk, and live a dissipated life. It's an impossibility for a person to embrace the sodomite lifestyle. It's an impossibility for a person to be involved in all manner of illicit, ungodly activities and say, I'm saved. That's traveling the broad way that has a mindset of, I'm religious, and look at me. But
Amen.
Notice the rebellion. I call it rebellion. Not only they are religious, but they're rebellious. And in rebellion here, they're arguing their own case before the Supreme Court judge of the universe. And according to Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, that Supreme Court justice of the universe is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus is the one that's seated on the great white throne. Jesus is the one that's reviewing and pointing out, as the books are open in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, showing that the name is not written in the Lamb's book of life from before the foundation of the world. So these are not only religious people, but these are rebellious people. Notice then in verse 23, what I call his recognition. Jesus says, I never knew you.
Wow.
Now, I don't know of anything that would have any greater ominous sound than saying, I never knew you. Picture the person. And ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully. Picture the person that lives an entire life religious, lives an entire life of doing good works, lives an entire life going the direction on that broad way that they think and that they are pleased with to do. But Jesus says, I never knew you.
My.
That word, ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to remember this. It's just from the Greek text. That word is epignosis. Know comes the root word gnosis, means knowledge. Epignosis, Jesus says, I never had a personal, knowledgeable relationship with you. So you say, well, what does that say? Jesus says, you have never been saved. You've never traveled through the straight gate. You've never traveled on the narrow way. You've never come, as Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus says, you've never done that. You've never been blood-bought, Bible-saved, born again. You've never accepted Christ as Savior. You might be religious. You might be rebellious. But you're lost, according to the Word of God.
Amen.
And, Pastor, I'm concerned because we have a world full, a nation full, of those that think that they're good because think that they're going to heaven because they're good. They think they're going to heaven because they do good works. But they are lost. And Jesus says, I never knew you. So what does he say then? Depart from me,
my.
Ye that work iniquity. depart from me. In other words, if you put it in the Youngblood vernacular, get out of my presence. I never knew you. I never had a relationship with you. You're lost. Depart from me. I believe these are the saddest words in all of the Bible. Depart from me. I never knew you.
Amen.
Pastor, the sad, sad, sad thing is, and perhaps there's some listening to this broadcast today, the sad thing is that multitudes will get to the point of death, get to the point of standing at the great white throne judgment, and they will argue the case. When you look at Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15, you'll find the ones that are standing there, they're lost. They're not saved people in the great white throne judgment. They're lost, folks, those that have never personally had a relationship to Jesus Christ. And they will be arguing their own case, defending themselves as their own client, becoming their own advocate. And Jesus there, according to Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, will open the books, B-O-O-K-S. One is the book of life. The one is the book of the law. That's the word of God. One is the book of living, opening the books to show that the name is not written down.
Amen.
Multitude will be saddened to find the name's not written in the book. Pastor, I remember an old spiritual that says, please open the books again. Please search the book again to see if my name is written down. Ladies and gentlemen, the most concern that I have today is for each one of you, especially those that have not said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior, but have chosen the broad way rather than the narrow way, the straight gate. Pastor, we've got about a minute. Wrap our broadcast up today with your thoughts and summarize what we've said and the challenge to our listeners before we go today.
Amen. Well, Dr. Youngblood, when you look at that word new, it also describes an intimate relationship between a husband and a wife.
Right, absolutely.
Just like how they know each other, that's the type of relationship we must have with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It must be an intimate, isolated relationship
where
no one else can come from the outside and deter that relationship or destroy it.
Yes.
So this is the way that God will have us to know him and to walk with him in that intimacy like it is between a husband and a wife.
Amen.
So we want to encourage you on today. If you have not done so, trust Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Trust in him on
yes.
today. He is the way, the truth, and the life. From the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, it says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time.
Amen.
This is who we need on today. Let us put all of our hope and trust in him.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I pray that you've said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior. I pray that you are traveling and have entered through that straight gate, that narrow gate, and you're traveling that road for Jesus. Thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
8 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also, tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.